It's time for What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.
Morena. Nicola Willis, how are you this morning?
Morena, I'm very well, thank you.
That's good to hear. I believe, are you on home isolation at the moment?
I was last week. All six of us in our family got COVID.
Oh, no.
So we had a slightly different week. I zoomed into question time and played a bit more Scrabble with the kids than usual.
Well, I hope you're all feeling a little bit better this week. It's definitely a lot of people in that boat at the moment. Let's talk about the budget, because last time we spoke to you, it was pre-budget. Now we have seen the government's budget announced, and there's been quite a lot of criticism from the National Party in particular about the government's spending, or overspending, as it's been characterised by your party. What ways in which are you particularly concerned about this so-called overspending?
Well, what we've seen is that the government has spent a lot more in this budget than they said they would. Grant Robertson came out last year and said he'd spend $6 billion. In fact, an extra $9.5 billion has been allocated each year. And the way that's happened is he has dipped into future budgets allowances for extra funding. And the Treasury, who are independent advisers, have warned him. They've said, look, you actually haven't left enough for next year, given there'll be inflation pressure and other issues to deal with next year. The only way you're going to be able to make things add up next year is either by taxing people more, stopping some areas of government spending, or putting the country further into debt. So what that tells us is it's been a really big spending budget, and National's concern is not only does that put more pressure on inflation at a time when that's the number one concern in our economy, but also we can see that some of that spending is pretty low priority, some of it's quite wasteful.
Which parts are you talking about in particular there? What do you see as low priority spending?
Well, there's a couple of categories. So one category is things that we just wouldn't prioritise right now. For example, there's more than $300 million in the budget allocated for the merger of TDNZ and RNZ. Now, that's just not something that people raise.
Oh, hello. Hello, Nicola.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, you just dropped out for a second.
Sorry.
There.
Sorry, who knows why? Gremlins in the system. Yeah, so people, it's not something that people have said to us, that's a priority, that's what we want to see. Another example is $1 billion in the budget allocated for the reamalgamation of assets under the Three Waters reform. Again, something that we haven't seen as prioritised.
Now, I want to come back to Three Waters in a second, but I did want to ask, where would you be spending the money at the moment? Because I think it's fair to say this is a particularly unusual time. We are going through concurrent crises, climate change, COVID, and the huge inflation that we're seeing around the world. Where would the National Party be spending the money then?
Well, we think it is possible through prudent, careful management to prioritise tax reduction across the board so that working New Zealanders would get a bit more money. We think that that would help them manage the costs of the cost of living crisis. We always prioritise additional funding for health and education. Those are public services that need more funding to deliver for New Zealanders, and we think budgets should prioritise them. In terms of climate change, we've been really clear. We sign up to the government's targets in terms of how much we need to reduce emissions by over the next few years, and we would commit to meeting those targets as well. So what this is about is prioritisation, and because the government is both doing initiatives that we wouldn't prioritise, but also not getting enough value out of spending in areas, for example, such as mental health, an area that is so important to so many people. But what we've seen is that the $1.9 billion that was allocated to it hasn't resulted in the additional specialist services that I think people have a right to expect. So we want to see much more focus on getting delivery and results out of the spending that's occurring across government so that people can see their dollars are actually delivering the services they expect.
Coming back to the tax cuts thing, that's been another big pillar of what the National Party has been talking about recently. I'm curious, though, we've heard Christopher Luxon say recently that if you were in government, there would be no privatisation of assets and there would be no reform to social welfare. So is tax cuts the only way that you would be, I guess, filling where we have holes financially at the moment? How are you proposing to get the money to keep these things going?
Well, the reason that we want to prioritise tax reduction is that we recognise that New Zealanders are really struggling in the cost of living crisis, and every dollar that they can keep is a meaningful dollar. And so that is a priority for us. In terms of other areas, what you will see from National is a real focus on targets, accountability and delivery. So, for example, in the health system, one of the first things that Labor did on coming to office was remove the public health targets which National had in place. These were for things like increasing immunisation rates for children, reducing waiting times in the emergency room, increasing people's access to cancer care. Now, they removed those targets. We think they were so important, and what we've seen is with their removal, performance has slipped backwards. So we want to return to an approach where across our public services, there are clear targets for what should be delivered, people are measured against them and held accountable for delivering results, and we think that will ensure both better value for money, but actually ultimately, most importantly, better results for New Zealanders.
So what Christopher Luxon is saying about the privatisation of assets not going to happen, reform of social welfare not going to happen if there is a National government, can you confirm that?
Well, can I just be clear? He hasn't said that there will be no reform of social welfare. What he has said is that we won't be cutting benefits. And he's absolutely right. That will not be what we are doing. But does that exclude us doing things to ensure that more people move out of welfare and into work? No, it doesn't. That's absolutely an area of policy that we are interested in, because we believe giving people independence and the choices and dignity that come with paid work is a great thing. So if we can support people to do that and ensure the system supports that, then we will do. In terms of asset sales, he's been really clear, and we're really clear as a party, that we don't want to return to having debates and discussions about the mixed ownership model. Those debates have been had, those decisions have been made, that those assets have been put into settled ownership.
Okay, well, let's talk about assets then. Let's talk about Three Waters. We're seeing the first bill being introduced to Parliament this week. There's been a lot of discussion about this. We have also heard a lot of conversation about this co-governance model and some concerns from not just the National Party, other opposition parties as well. But this week we've heard former National MP Chris Finlayson, who was Minister for Treaty of Waitangi Negotiations, say that there's been some people busy lately stirring up public alarm over the supposed threat posed by co-governance, and that co-governance should be embraced. Why is the current National Party concerned by a co-governance model?
Well, that's not the only aspect of Three Waters that we oppose. So I just want to be clear about that.
But on co-governance, why is the National Party concerned by the idea of co-governance?
Well, because we think that co-governance was originally introduced as a concept to help manage natural resources during following treaty settlements. And that was something that we effectively used in government. What that concept has now been expanded to represent is co-governance of public services, such as with the Three Waters entities, and, for example, with the concept of a Māori Health Authority. And our view is actually we are better to go forward with one system that provides tailored results for those communities in need.
So how does that fit under Te Tiriti o Waitangi, under the Treaty of Waitangi? How do we see a one-size-fits-all model match up with what is essentially our constitutional document?
Well, what the Treaty of Waitangi promises, in fact, very clearly, is it says that there should be one standard of citizenship and protection of New Zealanders, that property rights should be upheld. That's a concept that National has held to very strongly. We're proud of our track record in government of settling Treaty of Waitangi claims on the basis that property rights have been breached. And what the Treaty of Waitangi promises is that Māori will have the rights of citizens. So we think it is crucially important that, for example, in the health system, we see better results being delivered to Māori. We don't think it's acceptable that Māori have a far lower lifespan on average in New Zealand than non-Māori. But let's focus on targeting services based on the needs that exist and getting results, not simply on separate governance structures. And in the example of the Māori Health Authority, the government, by its own admission, says it's not expecting any better results for patients from that for a minimum of 5 years. And we just say that's actually too long to wait. Let's focus on improving the services, getting the better results. That's what the Treaty of Waitangi promises. It doesn't promise separate systems and separate management structures into the future.
All right. I think we'll come back to this one probably another week, but I do want to touch briefly on schools because we're seeing obviously COVID having a big impact on schools at the moment. Teachers are having a higher rate of COVID infection. We're also seeing struggles with students with their learning, which is, I guess, to be expected after huge disruptions for the last 2 years. We're hearing a lot of calls for the return of masking in schools. Is that something the National Party would like to see?
No, that's not something that we have pushed for, and that's because we think it is right for schools and their local communities to make the decisions about what best suits their students and their communities. And you are seeing in some cases that they are choosing to continue with masking, and in other cases they're not. I'm really aware, having had parents contact me about it, that masking does affect some children quite disproportionately. Those, for example, with sensory challenges, those with hearing challenges, those with a range of challenges have been affected by masking. And I think schools have made decisions based on what they think best balances the needs of kids. And ultimately, if schools are deciding and teachers are deciding our kids are able to learn better and it's a better environment without masking, then I think that's a decision best made by them.
What kind of support would the National Party like to see for schools at the moment?
Well, our real concern is the number of kids who are currently truant from school. We've seen those numbers leap considerably after COVID. So to give you a sense of it, about a staggering sort of 10,000 more children across New Zealand were chronically absent from school last year. So that means they attended school less than 70% of the time. We'd like to see some targets set for improving attendance at school. We'd like to see schools supported to ensure that kids are attending school, and a real focus on cracking down on truancy. Because if kids aren't at school, they can't be learning.
Is that what we're hearing principals calling for at the moment? Is that the conversations that you're having with teaching faculties? Is this where we're seeing that discussion?
Oh, there really is a lot of concern about the changes post-COVID. I was in a high school in Auckland just a couple of weeks ago, and they reported to me that on a given day, they have up to 30% of students not attending. And they see that as both a result of what's happening in families as people have to manage COVID, but also they acknowledge that some kids have become really detached from school during the lockdowns and just haven't returned. In some cases, that is really, really upsetting because these are kids who were gaining skills, were getting towards qualifications, were getting what they need to take the next steps in life, and detached from school, they're not getting that. So I think that's a concern for all of us in the community.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Nicola Willis. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks' time.
Thank you. You too.
That was What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.